We're at week 11. Why? Because it's taken 11 weeks to teach this really clear. So I want to tell you this. Our series is our authority that we have in Jesus. And I've tried to teach each week a different angle and an aspect. So I only had enough time because I had to chop out 4 pages of my notes to cover one angle. So we'll probably cover another angle next week. So if you're like, I'm not sure, I said go back and listen to the other 10 weeks and you'll probably understand. So the title for this week is Devil Made Me Do It with a question mark. Everybody say question mark. Because I want to address some interesting thoughts that some people have come up with over the years. And you know, the best way to address things sometimes is with a little humor. So has anyone ever heard of a famous comedian from the 1960s and 70s? You know who you are. Flip Wilson. Anybody heard of Flip Wilson? Yes. Okay. Very, very famous. So he coined this phrase, the devil made me do it. Because he had a very famous stand-up comedy routine. Of which he would do something outrageous, something ridiculous, where he would rob a bank, or he would cheat on something, or he would steal a car and joyride and wreck it, or just do something ridiculous. And then after he would do it, he would turn into the camera and look at the audience and go, the devil made me do it. So it became this joke, because everybody knew it was just an excuse for his poor behavior, right? But actually, it was kind of running, taking something and running some kind of not good theology. So I want to talk about that today, because Flip used this excuse, the devil made me do it, as a get-out-of-jail-free card, of which he didn't have to take any responsibility for his actions. Didn't have to truly repent from his heart, saying, I made a mess, and I need God's help to clean it up, right? So it's kind of sad, because we sometimes, as people, sometimes still make excuses for our behavior by blaming the devil. Truth, right? And as long as we just blame him for our worst behaviors or someone else's to justify our reaction to them, how many people besides myself have had some not good reactive behaviors in life? Yes, working on it. Then nobody has to take responsibility for their actions, and you don't have to repent. Now, we talked about this in the past. Repentance means to change your ways. How many people know that you're sorry because you hurt yourself or messed up a situation, right? But it's different, because repentance means I am making a heart change to go in the opposite direction and make changes in my life. That's often associations, things that we used to do, our favorite pet sins and idols, and we make changes because those are the things that open up the door, right? Does that make sense? So we're going to kind of talk about that for a second. So here's the problem. You know, this excuse of the devil made me do it, this false theology, is essentially, let me kind of pop a hole through it here. So let me think here. It's saying that when I'm a good person, please attribute my good behaviors and my good works directly to me and my good character, right? But if I behave in a nasty, irresponsible way, just blame on my demons who are running the show. So first of all, I want to say this. Never say my demons. Don't say my cancer. Please don't say my depression, my anxiety. Why? Because it just says you want to keep it. Does anybody want to keep any of those things? No. No, it's from Satan. It can go right back to him, go right back to the pit of hell. I don't want any of it. So please don't say that. But it's very common in songs. Anybody heard people talk about my demons in songs? Even in conversations? Oh, my demons are just haunting me. Well, once again, I don't want to keep them, okay? So let's go back here. All right, so here's my, I want to punch through this thing. So when a person engages in wonderful, kind-hearted, generous behavior, such as, let me think here, you are in the grocery line and there's a single mom in front of you, and you know what, you could just tell they're struggling. They have some food stamps and the kids are a little upset, and you could just look at her and you're like, she's going through a really hard time. And you decide to pay for her groceries. That's a beautiful thing. And we know, Holy Spirit, what prompts our heart to do those things. But we don't say, God made me do it, right? Because we made a choice to yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit. All right, maybe God's put it on your heart. This has happened many times in this congregation. We have a very generous, hardworking congregation. And the Lord will just tug on their heart to give something to someone in need. There have been cars that have been given away to someone in need, and God gets all the glory. Why? Because there was an opportunity. God tugged at their heart and they gave. But God didn't make them do it, right? They yielded to the tugging of Holy Spirit. So, you know, Holy Spirit will lead us oftentimes by compassion. That'll take 45 minutes to teach. But just read, every time Jesus had compassion towards people, he moved and he prayed for healing and brought freedom and deliverance. It's beautiful. So, we can get a tug in our heart or even just see an opportunity going, Jesus would want to do something here, and we can lay hands on the sick and release the healing power of God. We can go minister a prophetic word of encouragement to build them up in a very hard time. And let me tell you, please look for times, especially during this time of year. I work with young people, and we do not come from traditional homes at any capacity, normally in the youth group, but sometimes it's a hurting place in their heart, and Satan really starts messing with their head. So you looking for any opportunity to encourage, pray for, give a scripture, and yielding to the Holy Spirit will transform, change lives, bring healing and freedom. Amen? But it is our choice to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? So Acts 7, verse 51 says this, why would you be so stubborn? How many people can be a little stubborn besides myself? A little bit. All right. As to close your hearts and your ears, you always resist Holy Spirit. I don't like the term God is in control, because we have a choice to respond to his promptings, right? He doesn't control us, we respond. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, do not quench, stifle, extinguish the Spirit. The Amplified Bible says this, don't be unresponsive to the workings and to the guidance of Holy Spirit. These are promptings, right? These are opportunities. These are tugs. But we have a choice to shut him out and harden our heart. How many people have gone besides myself through a season where I hardened my heart to things the Holy Spirit wanted me to do? I just wasn't ready. I was just super insecure. Honestly, 10 years of my life. So thank you, right? 10 years of my life, I was just running because I didn't feel like I was good enough. Good thing God doesn't want you good enough. He just wants you yielded to him. But I get it. We can kind of harden our heart. So it's sad that sometimes we resist Holy Spirit because we just don't want to yield. So this term quenching Holy Spirit, people are like, what is that? So if you have a fire and you get a cold, wet blanket and throw it on it, it's going to quench the fire. So the Bible says this in Jeremiah. He said, it's like a fire shot up in my bones and I just got to let it out. Anybody ever been so full of Holy Spirit? So full of the love of God that just, I'd hug a tree sometimes. I just love hugging new people. I have so much of his love in my heart because he has freed me from so much hurt and pain and self-hatred. I got so filled in his love. I just want to love other people, right? But when you quench, when you resist, when we harden our heart to his voice, it's like throwing a cold, wet blanket on it and just puts it out. But it's our choice to do it. We often just miss opportunities to be used by God simply because we're just not built up in his word. We're just not being filled up, and we're just listening to worship music and just singing your own song to it, right? Just stirs. It says to stir up Holy Spirit within you, stir up love. Joy is a choice sometimes. Love is a choice, but you got to stir it up, because when we're not built up in the word and we're not in that place of worship and we're not talking to him throughout the day, we kind of are flesh ruled, basically ruled by our emotions. Come on. And when we're exhausted, this is my number one excuse. We were talking in the young adults group, but like normally I'm missing opportunities for God to use me because I'm just exhausted. You parents out there, guys, you're like no sleep for 20 years when you have a child. They also don't leave your basement till they're 30 these days. So listen, like real talk, like we're tired. We work really hard, and sometimes we have emotional things that work on our heart. And what we do is we're so tuned into our emotions, our flesh, our soul is our mind, our will, for all you willful, stubborn people, and our emotions. We're ruled by that and not being led by Holy Spirit because it's a choice. But when you're really built up with him and choosing to tune in and overflowing with his word, we're more tuned into the voice of Holy Spirit than the voice of our feelings. Because you can be really, really tired and still be tuned into the voice of the Lord to tune into love for someone else, to go, can I pray for you? Right? It's a choice. So every day throughout the day, we have a choice to respond and obey the voice of the Lord, the Good Shepherd, right? Or, and here's where we turn into it in our message, or we have a choice to yield to the stranger's voice. My sheep know my voice. A stranger's voice we do not respond to, right? We don't follow it. It is a choice. But you do have a choice to yield to a tempting voice of another spirit, of a demon, right? Call them evil spirits in the Bible, demons. There is another voice. definition of yield, according to the online dictionary, is this: to choose to submit or give way to something or someone, to no longer resist. So when we yield to Satan's voice of influence through demonic powers and voices, right? When we choose to entertain and fantasize about temptations he puts our way. How many people know? We live in a sex-saturated world. It is everywhere. I mean, like, you can't walk anywhere. Every billboard. It's exhausting. But we have a choice to yield to that and to fantasize about that image. So when an image comes along, we go, in the name of Jesus, I just take that image away, Lord God. I choose to think on you and your holiness and your beauty. Lord, what would you have me to do today? You know, who do you want to talk? And we just turn our attention to the God stuff, right? But it's a choice. Let me think here. I'm going to hit one that probably hits the majority of Christians. You know where our weak link is? Offense. Real talk. Come on. Come on. How many people know Christians' weak link is offense? Yes, it's true. We deal with it every day. If not, you're probably lying, okay? We deal with it, all right? So when we fester on people that have done us wrong, you know, people are people-y. People are jerks. People have bad days and become their worst selves, or they just disappoint us because they're not perfect. And we tend to hold people to higher standards than we hold ourselves. We tend to hold people to higher standards than we hold ourselves. And when we do, unmet expectations of other people, spouses, kids, leaders, that is a root of offense. And that root of unforgiveness or injustice or anger is choosing to sin. It is choosing to hold on to something that Satan has planted out here in this external voice. And when we cycle on it, repeat it, talk about it to everybody. This person, everybody knows what person hurt you because everybody and their brother has heard about it every time they see you. That means you're offended, okay? So Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 says this. It says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. It is our free will choice to choose to sin, right? It is our free will choice to hold on to hurts and wrongs. It is not okay what they did to you. Forgiveness does not mean it's okay for the nasty, abusive, horrific thing they did to you. Forgiveness says, that will not define me. That does not tell me who I am. My past is not who I am. I forgive and move forward, and I will not allow bitterness, anger, rage to change who I am, who I'm called to be. And the very area that Satan stole from you, guess what? You're going to go be called to bring freedom to other people in that same area. That's how I kick Satan in the teeth. But I'm no victim. Amen? So John 10:10 reveals this. He reveals the ultimate goal of Satan and his horde of demons is this: to steal, kill, and destroy in every capacity, in every area you give him opportunity. So like I said, you know, our problem is we are quick to take credit for good works and helping other people. But bad behaviors, on the other hand, sometimes we just want to pawn off on the demons made me do it. And we're kind of joking, but real talk. When we're not having a true heart of repentance saying, I would like to change in these areas, right? What we're saying is this. He says, without a heart of repentance, it says, I don't take responsibility for my actions, and neither should you hold me accountable to repent and change my ways. Do you hear where I'm coming from? This is what shuts the door. We often don't want to change our associations. We don't want to change the certain parties we like to go to that smell like certain things, right? We like to kind of go to the same old places that were old traps. How about this? We keep dating the same kind of people that pulled us into the same kind of stuff. Sometimes we just have to change our ways. All right, but true repentance from your heart is how you shut the door to Satan. Remember, repentance means I'm going to make a 180-degree turn and choose to go in the opposite direction. It's not a cop-out, I'm sorry. It's not sorry I got caught. I'm not sorry I hurt you or hurt our relationship. It takes ownership for what we've done and puts yourself in a position of accountability to not go back. And that often means sometimes changing who we're hanging around. Because, you know, when you get tempted, I went through a breakup a long time ago in a faraway place, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was a really good guy. It just wasn't my forever guy. Real talk. Great guy. And the Lord's like, you need to break up? Oh, Lord, I was going to break up with him. So, you know, we kind of like the mutual breakup because we both knew we weren't called to be together. And I had to put in my wallet a list of like 10 reasons why we need to break up. Why? So I wouldn't go back. You know that dumb song, you know, it's 2 a.m. and I'm going back to my ex. You know, you have to change your ways. Guys, if you want to get over them, you can't hang out with your ex, right? Especially if they were good to you and you just, that's not your forever person. Okay, well, not in my notes, but come on. Now y'all singing the song, you know, you got to change your ways. All right. People don't stay free. People ask me, you know, when I pray for someone and tell a demonic influence and a voice to go, why aren't they staying free? Because they're not changing their ways. True repentance says, I don't want to go back. Someone sent me a really great message, and it described vampire Christians. And it was basically people that want the blood of Jesus, forgiveness of sins, but they don't want Jesus to be the Lord of their life and change their ways. And I went, oh, that's deep. I'm just going to snap for that other minister. That was good. All right. All right. So, yes, now we're going to go into the thick of it, and I need time, so stick with me, because we're going to go into some technical stuff, so pay attention. And if you're like, I don't get it, go listen to the other 10 weeks and you'll get there. All right. Yes, demons can and will try to hinder us from walking in freedom. Period. They're everywhere. They're all around you. Okay? But we have to acknowledge them and unmask that demonic work and that influence for us to realize that we needed to make a free will choice to not yield to that other voice. Sometimes you just got to acknowledge there's another voice out there, that external voice of temptation, of shame, of beating you up. And you got to say, in the name of Jesus, go, be quiet. This is who God says I am. This is what his word says I am. And his word says, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So if you have another voice bringing up your past and every other person you've ever hurt, every failure you've ever made, guess what voice that is? The other voice, the strange voice, the demonic voice, because it's not God's voice. God's not mad at you. You know, people think that God's mad at them. All that wrath was taken to the cross 2,000 years ago. You're his son, you're his daughter, by faith, not because you're perfect. God is not mad at you. That's the other voice, because that's the voice that isolates you from his presence, from worship, from his word, in relationships that will draw you closer to God. Shame was taken to the cross 2,000 years ago. Don't pick it up. It was nailed there. Let's leave it. All right. So it's much easier to yield to that strange voice of demons when you are not built up in the word daily, knowing the truth. And the truth will set you free. I'm going to talk about different levels here, but we're starting like 101 level, right? Got to get built up in the word. And listen, for those of you that, I love you guys, but I don't keep friends, blah, 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 blah. I don't have friends at church. I sit with the same two people and they're all my family. Listen, that's called isolation, and isolation will get you weird, okay? And also, it also makes you a very easy target for Satan to mess with you. And if you don't have close relationships that you're getting together with weekly, that's why we have grow groups, so people can actually know you. And just say, hey, God's not mad at you. Get out of your head. You're beating yourself up, right? They're going to remind you of the blind spots we have in our life. Pastor Sherry has blind spots in her life. That's why I have good friends that can call me out on my baloney, right? Because I'm going to listen to them. I asked for it. Ask Stacy. Stacy. And she'll tell me. She's so much nicer about it. I mean, she's great. But you need friends that are going to call you out in the blind spots. What? Because Satan is the god of this world, and he desires to blind people. Right? So when you start hanging out with people, doing life with people that want to grow in God, and you let them into the junk, into the messy parts of our life, they will help you identify lies, identify that other voice, break that thing off of you. Listen, I'm telling you, sometimes you need someone to pray in faith and say, in the name of Jesus, you voice of depression and shame and self-hatred, you go in the name of Jesus. You leave my friend alone. Don't you dare come back. And now what? I'm going to text you every week who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to text you a scripture every day so you can stand on. Do not isolate and try to fight alone. It's a harder battle. How many people have a friend in this church that's that for you? Yeah. And if you don't, join a grow group or start one. It'll change your life. The empty mind is the devil's playground, right? So when you are full of the word and overflowing with Holy Spirit and worship, when you're actively, you want to kick Satan in the teeth? Actively step out every day to do something Jesus did. Because it will just make your flesh scream. I don't want to. Oh, I'm embarrassed. What if they reject me? Get over it. Make yourself do something that Jesus did every day. He prayed for healing. He encouraged people. He lifted people up that were oppressed and kicked down by society, saying, you're not good enough. And he pick them up and go, follow me. You're good enough for me, right? And it just, gets all that junk off you. Why? Because you're so stretched in faith, you don't have time to be tuned into how you feel. I will say this, bored Christians are the most dangerous thing in your church. They get weird. Bored Christians get weird. They just make up stuff to entertain themselves and aren't doing the stuff Jesus did, I'll be honest. And generally speaking, bored Christians fall into judgment, criticism, gossip. Oh, that nasty thing. Yeah, that's a nasty, anybody, gossip's a nasty spirit. Slander, division, why? Just bored Christians. Go stretch yourself to do something you don't feel like doing. Do the stuff that Jesus did. Go disciple some people. Go pick some people up that don't know anything about Jesus and do life with them. You will not have time to pick apart that the coffee is light roast versus medium roast and it wasn't hot enough. You know, you don't have time for that. Silly, right? But we thank our Coffee Care and Connect. Thank you guys so much, right? Because we are so just grateful because it's not, we don't have time to think about all those things, right? All right. Now we're going to clarify. We have to clarify. Demons are real and actively at work around us. 11 weeks, I dug in a lot to the natural side of things. I touched on mental illness. I touched on healing, right? The organ is a brain. Jesus heals every aspect of our life. Today, I only have time because I chopped out 4 pages of notes to just talk about the spiritual side. So everybody just hone in, and if you have questions, come talk to me. Please go listen to the other series. We're talking about the spiritual side of how demons operate. Is that okay? Follow me? All right. But once again, so I want to go back to this. Sometimes we are just emotional, fleshed-out jerks. Hey, people, just emotional, fleshed-out jerk. I don't have a demon talking to me. I'm just being a jerk because I'm feeling some sort of way because I stubbed my toe in the middle of the night, you know, and I'm having a bad hair day, and my coworker was a jerk, so I feel like I can be a jerk back to him. Okay, all right, so, all right. We're just not spending time with the Lord. We're not getting our mind renewed, and we're tuned into our emotions, and we become our worst us. Anybody? I have a worse version of myself. That's why I have friends that will call me out on it and go pray for me. All right, Galatians 5, 15 through 17 says this. But if you were always biting and devouring one another, bored Christians, if you were always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. You're destroying other people's lives. So I say, walk by the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves and won't be gratifying the desires of your flesh. Sometimes your flesh just wants to let loose and do stupid things that don't help you or your family, right? Sometimes it just wants to go on a shopping spree and spend $2,000 on clothes that make you feel good about yourself temporarily, and then you get in a huge fight with your spouse, not our relationship, right? I'm so good at not spending his money. I'm so good at it. Great. Except at the grocery store. I do like buying really good food. Okay. So listen. All right. So the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two opposing forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out the good intentions. English Standard Version says, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Whatever you feed the most will have the most influence and pull on your life. Do you hear me? Whatever you feed the most will have the most influence and pull on your life. You got two opposing, your flesh and Holy Spirit all the time. So if you feed the insatiable beast of your flesh, your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, people are just willful and stubborn, and they make it all about them. They do. And they don't want to give. They don't want to compromise. Thanks, Lord. I'm going to reel it in. In college, there was always a certain type of person you didn't want to be a roommate with. Generally speaking, they had no siblings, and the entire world revolved around them. I was just like, they were just so, like, made it all about them all the time. Okay, listen, you know, you're just feeding your flesh. But, you know, you can be an only child and not make it about you. I've met some amazing only children, the most selfless, kind-hearted, wonderful people, because they have chosen, they made a choice to have close friendships that became like family to them and learn to just lay their life down and help other people out. But whatever you feed, whatever beast you feed, will have the most pull and influence on your life. So if we're on a steady diet of trash TV, sexualized social media, music, gossip, drama conversations, just feeding on all the attacking, slanderous news, that will affect you as a person, and it will cause you to be flesh-ruled, and it will guide you And you start to becoming that crazy person that we discovered over pandemic, that all they did was just watch crazy stuff on YouTube and just all watch crazy news stuff and conspiracy this and that, and they just got ugly and angry and attacking. And Christians posting curse words, cursing the other political party out, and then inviting the other people to church. What? And they started making crazy emotional decisions because they were feeding their flesh, their mind, their will, and emotions on the garbage. So termites, we talked last week, termites like feeding on rotten wood, rotten things outside of your house. So you have to be careful the kinds of rot you let around you. Guard your eyes, your ears, your heart. And it's all around us. We live in this world. You know, we can't isolate and make you weird, okay? But we're around it. So just be careful you don't let it stay there. Because that rot and that trash, if you're saturating it all the time by choice and adding more and more to it, that unrenewed mind is a very easy target for Satan to really start messing with you, right? So oftentimes the problem is we are just listening to the wrong external voice. John 10, 4 through 5, once again, my sheep hear my voice, the good shepherd, right? Jesus. We hear his voice. And there's another voice that says we are always hearing. So yes, Christians will hear another voice. The stranger's voice, the voice of the enemy, the voice of Satan operating through demons. It's just going to happen. You're going to have those thoughts. You're going to get some toxic thoughts, some temptation, how to judge and criticize that person beside you because you just don't like the way they looked at you because they gave you the stink eye one day. And really, it was just because they stubbed their toe and you made it all about you because you're insecure. And when you walk into a room, you're like, they don't like me. They don't like, I know the way, they don't talk to me, they don't like me. You know, I saw the way they look. No, you're just making it all about you. You're just in your flesh. It's okay. You know, sometimes you have a really rude, grumpy waitress, and it's not because she doesn't like you. It's because her life is really hard, and she's exhausted. So give her a good tip and pray for her. All right. Sometimes we allow lies, like birds, to build a nest, a stronghold prison in our hair. So Kenneth Hagin and Joyce Myers said this all the time. They says, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, okay? But you can keep the thing from building a nest in your hair. So a stronghold is a prison of lies that you've accepted one by one, and you just let Satan just take a dump on your brain and just put some like straw and nastiness in there. Why? Because when a bird flies over your head, I'm swatting the thing away, right? You know, come on, you know, you ever been to the beach, you got a seagull, if you don't start swapping that thing away, you know, it's going to get ugly up there. But if you just let it do it, oh, you know, I'm just having an Eeyore kind of day, I'm just going to dwell on all the woe is me, we're living in a dark time, come sweet Lord, oh, this is terrible, terrible. You're letting them just build a nest of nastiness and lies in your brain. Satan builds a prison in your mind over time, brick by brick, lie by lie, negativity, doubt, unbelief, and you're going to have to brick by brick take it down. All right. It is vital to take captive every thought. And I really dug into this 1 week, so you guys know what this baseball bat means, right? 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. See, now you're remembering my message. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons. Physical. They're weapons of flesh and blood. They're not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Other translations say strongholds, prisons in your mind, right? It says casting down imaginations. Anybody get really bad daydreams? Just bad what-if scenarios, you know, just remembering past hurts. You know, what if this happens? What if, you know, what if I don't get this account? You know, what if the economy crumbles? What if I lose my retirement? What if? Fantasies that are not healthy, and they're from the other voice, right? It says you have to cast down, I don't care if you have bad form, just hit the ball. I don't care how you hit the ball, just hit the ball, okay? Casting down imaginations, we are destroying sophisticated arguments. Satan makes things complicated. God makes things simple. Got to come to him like a child. And every proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Pride makes things with God really complicated. He's meant to be simple. Come to him like a child and you'll understand the kingdom of God. And every proud thing that sets us up against the true knowledge of God, we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. So you have to shoot down the demonic lies by speaking God's word of truth. And if you're getting some bad what-if scenario fantasies going through your brain, you better pick some good faith ones. That means faith is seeing. That means you must choose to see. That means allowing your God imagination to start working. How many people know that's a choice? It doesn't come naturally. I have to go, Satan, you're saying I'm going to be a failure and I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to own my own home, that like I'm never going to get promoted. So guess what? Ha ha, I'm going to kick you in the teeth on this one. I'm going to see you moving on the heart of my boss. I'm going to see the favor of the Lord going before me. I'm going to see you opening up doors. I'm going to see you moving in my finances, Lord. I'm going to see you moving through. I'm going to talk to strangers. Do you know why? Because that stranger might just open up a door for God to move into a new job. I am choosing to see my life and my future in faith. And if that's hard for you, get saturated in the Word of God. It'll come a lot easier. And please fast media. I'm not saying, be educated. You should know what's going on in the news. Don't be ignorant. But did you know you can know what's going on in the news in about a 15-minute like little cliff note, little headlines? But if you listen to 2 hours of the news every day and you're dealing with horrific what-if scenarios, maybe just fast the amount of time we go there. Does that make sense? All right, so if you're dealing with all kinds of drama and self-doubt and self-hatred, maybe turn off all the drama shows, because that's what all those characters are. And we project and see ourselves in those characters, and we sometimes start to take on those emotions. Just fast the trash. I'm not saying you never go back to it. Just fast the trash until you get built up in faith for your life. I was in a place of deep sorrow through loss in my life, and I just had to fast some things. I just had to turn off any drama. I couldn't watch any drama shows. By the way, I couldn't watch doctor shows to this day. Nothing wrong with them. My sister's a nurse, but I watched some people die horrifically, and everything was cancer on that particular doctor show. So I just don't watch them anymore. Why? Because I just kind of keep those thoughts at bay. I couldn't handle it. Not saying you can't, right? But I was getting in fear for loss of loved ones, so I just fasted those kinds of shows. All right, where are we at here? Okay. All right, here we go. We have to emphasize there are different levels of demonic influence. Starts with what voice we start yielding to. All right, all levels have the same answer, which is the deliverance and freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, period. The answer is always the same, and the answer is always simple. But we're going to distinguish today between what is called oppression, something called obsession, and another thing called possession. Last week, we covered what possession was with the madman of Gadara, right? That was a very extreme circumstance. Today, I want to talk about these levels of influence in our life. And many of us, including myself, have gone through these levels. In fact, I have too. And I'm a pastor, and Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I have yielded to the wrong voice at times in my life. And I have let some weights of this world and lies weigh me down for long periods of time, because I didn't know what was coming after me. Now, once again, I'm talking about the spiritual side today. I've talked about physical sides, like in your brain, past weeks, right? So we're just going here. All right, so there are deeper levels of being influenced. Evil spirits can oppress anyone, even Christians, if they allow it and don't fight back. So first of all, demons really want to embody someone and control someone, and they will express influence when they can't get in someone from the outside. Remember? That strange external voice. It's the majority of what people are just dealing with. Okay? So we have those thoughts all day long. But you know what? When we let that thing start building a nest in our brain, it starts to come rest on us. All right. Oppression. Evil spirits. Yes, they go after Christians. Why? Because if they can get you out of the game, put you on the bench, they can affect way more people. Because they just pulled the answer out of the workplace. Because you're hiding in the corner, licking your wounds in offense and depression. And you're like, oh, that's okay. Then they're not going to tell anybody about Jesus. We'll press in on them, okay? We can get oppressed from the outside by demonic powers, right? There are different degrees of oppression depending on how long you let it go. We got it? When you let some disease go, it can run rampant. You hear me? All right, so things can start to manifest. And what I'd like to call a strange, lingering, really bad mood. Everybody has bad moods. Everybody has bad days, bad circumstances. But when you are not yourself for days on end, weeks on end, months on end, for sometimes it's years, that is not a normal, natural thing. God never wanted depression and anxiety to be your normal for the rest of your life. Do you hear me? Yes, I know there's imbalances in chemicals. Once again, I'm just talking about the spiritual side, spiritual and natural all tied, right? So I like to call it like the big dark cloud that is hanging over your head that you just cannot shake. And it's not just a bad day through circ. We all have bad days and weeks, you know, bad day in business, you know, maybe you're fighting with your spouse. Things happen. Bills come in. I'm talking about I am not myself. I want to say it's kind of like, you know, Eeyore I was talking about, but you can only see the downside of life. You're stuck in the dumps. You've lost yourself in the ability to find any sense of joy in the world. When the heaviness follows you to the point where you just can't get out of bed in the morning, I've had long seasons, months on end, where it took everything in me just to get out of bed, just to try to do life, okay? And listen, I was a pastor and loving Jesus, but I had allowed, through not taking my thoughts captive, lies and a prison that settled, and then a presence couldn't get in. It's from the outside pressing in. It's pressure. Everybody, like, there's pressure, right? A really good example, I like Brother Kenneth Hagin used this example of like, first of all, you never have to be afraid of demons. They just look weird. Like they're mutated, like Muppets. Anybody remember the Muppets? They're just weird looking, okay? So you don't have to be afraid of it. It's turn off the horror movies. They don't look like that. The ones that I've seen and the ones that my father would see, yes, I have seen them. It's just weird looking. But Brother Hagin kind of described this. He said, it'd be like having like this gorilla-sized Muppet on your back. And I need to, my junior high's downstairs. Where do we got? Wait, okay, Dylan and, wait, who's beside you? Davion, oh, your head's up. Come on up. Davion and Dylan. Okay, let's clap for our very handsome men. Very handsome. They love Jesus, and they're a joy and a delight to have in the youth group. I just, like, my future youth leaders, I'm always recruiting, right? Davion, I always say, come on, that's my youth leader. Come on. All right, so let's just say, okay, you're the Muppet gorilla, okay, and you jump on Davion's back. Don't hurt. You're not. You're strong. He plays football. He's an athlete. Yeah, jump on his back. Okay. Yeah, later. Yeah, we'll reverse it later in a second. Okay, jump on. All right, there you go. So Davion is in control of his life, right? It's just really hard to function well. So listen, he's an athlete. He's a football player. Davion, how easy would it be? Okay. Right, now listen, it's hard, just pretend like you just hold on to the back of him. Okay, you just, now weigh some pressure. Now, Davion, you could be, if you need to, like, you know, leave this building, you can, but when you got a giant gorilla hanging on your back, right, this giant Muppet weird guy, it's going to be hard to get through some doors of opportunity. Hear me out. Don't make it weird. Stop it. Okay. All right, it's my comic team here. Okay, so it's also, no, keep hanging on him, okay. It'd be very hard for him to function well and run his race in life, to do what he's called to do, when you have this giant Muppet weight hanging on you, right? And if God opens a door of opportunity, you got this giant thing hanging on you, it is hard to sometimes get through doors of opportunity because you're so exhausted with the weight. Self-hatred, self-doubt, all that stuff goes through your brain. It's very easy to get stuck in life. It's very easy to get stuck in your past. Okay. So this is what oppression is like. It is this negative spiritual pressure, this force, this weird, like you can't describe it, but it makes it hard to be you. Okay, do everybody get this here? You are in control of your life, but it's very hard to function well as yourself, and you really have no joy in life. Does that make sense? Now, possession is very different. Okay, so this is, we have the gorilla. We have our Muppet gorilla, okay? Now listen, okay, now you pick up Davion. Can you do that in your arms? Can you do that? Yeah. Okay. Now who's in control? Our Muppet is in control. Okay, does that make sense? This demonic force is in control. You're telling him where he's gonna go, okay? Now you can put him down. Don't drop him. Very, very precious. Okay, you guys can sit down. Let's all clap for our amazing youth group. Okay. They did not know I was going to call on them, but we appreciate our youth group. They're great. All right, so let's see here. It's like carrying a nasty old weighted blanket. It's a heaviness. Sometimes it's apathy, hopelessness, despair, because Satan wants to weigh you down so much you forget where you are seated in life. Remember my chairs that used to be on the stage? Chair number one, right with the cross. I am joint seated in heavenly places, Ephesians 2:16. I am joint seated with Christ Jesus, right? I am not what Satan says I am. He wants you to forget who you are, who you're called to be, and he wants you to forget how to fight the fight of faith. Faith is a choice. All them little what-ifs going through your brain, you need to get in the word and get in faith for your life and start declaring it out loud, right? And number one, tell that stinking thing to get off you in the name of Jesus. I don't care how big and how nasty you think it is. Every knee bows to the name of Jesus. You tell depression, self-hatred, hopelessness, despair, go in the name of Jesus. And if you don't have enough faith for your own life, you get surrounded by some people that have faith for your life and have them pray for you. Amen? And now real talk, this is where you forget. Repent for not taking those thoughts captive. Repent for dwelling and fantasizing about every lie your dad ever spoke about you, every horrific thing that that bully ever said, everything that, your boss ever put you down with. Repent for dwelling on it. Repent for holding on to it. And shut the door. And then get filled with the word of God in his presence and worship. Start declaring things that God says about you over life and lock it so that sucker don't come back. All right. So, next step. Okay, so we have this oppression, right? If Satan can't get to you, he will get to the people around you. Wave your hand if you know this one. This one's just really easy to see. Okay, so if demons can't get you to accept and cycle and obsess on those lies, right? If he can't tempt you to get into sin, he will just get to people around you and influence people around you to make your life harder. All them drama people, you know, like people are like, I don't like drama. Well, it seems to follow you everywhere. Might be good to change some associations, right? You know, there are people that just want to vent on you and just want to get you all weighed down. Give them about 10 minutes on the phone. Interrupt them. Pray for them. Give them an assignment to get in Ephesians and get off the phone. You are not their dumping ground. All right, so what do you do? Matthew 5:44 says this, says you have to love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you and despitefully use you. Luke 6:28 says this, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you and despitefully use you. Yes, those are people around you and sometimes even your close circle. It is what it is. So what do? I don't pray against the person. That's not biblical. You have to bless that person. But you pray against that nasty little Muppet thing that is on their back, making them miserable, attacking you, judging you, criticizing you, accusing you every second of the day. And you pray blessings and you play freedom over them and you tell that thing that is just speaking lies to them to go. You tell the blindfold that Satan's just got his fingers over there to go, that they would see the truth and it would set them free. But it is still their decision if they want to walk in freedom or go back. But we keep praying, amen? Because the more free will, the more they see the truth, the more they have an opportunity to walk in freedom. So we need to keep praying. All right. There are deeper levels when you choose to yield to demonic influence. So I'm going to talk about this yield sign a lot here. So the primary ways that demons gain access is through our mind and our body. The degree to which we yield to demons in these areas determines how much they can influence you, because you can choose to yield, right? As Christians, when you continually choose to yield to the demonic influence, when you choose to entertain and obsess on that toxic voice, obsess and keep thinking about it. You keep thinking how they hurt you. You keep thinking how they betrayed you. You keep thinking about how they stabbed you in the back and how much they owe you, and you just keep going there. In time, it causes a drilled-in inroad, this obsession, and you can start to become partially controlled by that sucker. Okay? You hear me? They want to affect and influence your body and your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when you choose to sin repeatedly, it opens up a door, a foothold to the enemy. And demons are drawn like flies to rot. Because, you know, when something is rotting, it creates holes, right? Inroads, access formed. So the more we entertain that negative, toxic thinking, the deeper it starts to drive into us, the more you choose to obsess about things you can't control in life. It can really affect your physical health, your mental health, and your body. Demons want to throw toxic thoughts on you all the time of fear and anger and accusation, those creepy, crawly thoughts of unforgiveness and offense. And if you take the bait to dwell on it, to cycle on it, to vent about it, it starts creating ruts into obsession. Obsession is like taking a drill bit You drill bit? What happens when you cycle and cycle and cycle? It runs and drives deeper and deeper. And it drills these inroads, these strongholds deeper into your house. And in time, it can start to affect and destroy not only relationships, but it can start to damage your mind and your body. So I talked about this last week. Anger, resentment, fear, obsession, worry. When you hold on to that stuff and you cycle on it, you can't control certain things. You just can't. What happens? Stress on your body. Stress is the most toxic thing that you can ever let in your body. It will destroy your health. I'm telling you, it's very interesting. The control freak personality, they actually say, is more prone to certain kind of diseases because they're just stressed all the time because they can't control certain things. So how do we say this? It'll affect your nerves. I talked about last week, like it can form ulcers, right? Neck and back pain, insomnia, panic attacks, toxic thoughts create damage in your brain. Dr. Carolyn Leaf really talks about toxic thoughts. She's just really awesome and applies the science natural side to behind all things, right? Go look her up. But right now I'm just talking about the spiritual side, the other voice. So when we obsess about things, negative stuff, it forms unhealthy neuropathway ruts in our brain. And when they scan brains, they actually see dark, unhealthy spots in your brain. Go look it up. It's really cool. So like termites, they follow the rot of water damage roots, damaging thoughts if left to go unchecked. Demons will follow those thoughts deeper in roads of obsession. James 3:16 says, where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When you start holding on to hurts and unforgiveness and anger, rotten things, footholds, access. So 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert, watch out for your enemy. The devil prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Isolated, wounded, toxic thoughts. You hold on to them, I'm telling you, it will affect your soul, your mind, your will and emotions, and affect your body. Raise your hand if you've seen this happen. Yeah, me too. And I'm a Christian. But I'm telling you, I let Satan start lying to me to the point where his lies were more real than what God said about me. And it was a really not good place for me to be. But answer's always the same, right? You tell that thing to go in the name of Jesus. And if you don't have faith for that for your own life, you get people to surround you and pray for you. Repent for obsessing. Repent for holding on to things. Let it go in the name of Jesus. Get built up in him. It locks the door for those things to come back. You hear it? It's very simple answers. All right, I want to talk about when you yield. Okay, Christians, we can yield to God in one breath. In the very next breath, yield to the enemy, right? Out of the same mouth can come blessing and cursing. It shouldn't be that way. You can yield to God and be used by the Lord, and the very next minute be yielding to the wrong voice, to the stranger's voice, to Satan. It happened to Peter. So Matthew 16:20-23, you know, God's using Peter in a profound way, and he is revealing that Jesus is the Son of God to Peter. He's the first one that goes, you are the Christ, the risen King. Remember, I preached it a couple weeks ago. And then a couple minutes later, Jesus reveals, he's like, hey, I need to die. I need to die for the world. You know, this is going to happen to me. And he just says what's going to happen. And Peter, get this, yields to the other voice. He knows what the Son of God has to do, but he's like, verse 23. So Peter goes, oh no, Jesus, no, you don't need to die for us. No, you shouldn't suffer. No, don't do what you've been sent to do, essentially. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. He's not talking to Peter. He's talking to that other voice Peter's just repeating. Do you hear me? He loves Peter. So when someone says something stupid to you, don't go, get behind me, Satan. I mean, that's, remember what? It's insulting. It's like telling someone they have an STD. Shut up, demon. No, don't do that. You're going to lose a friend, okay, and probably get fired at work, all right? But, but we know what's operating there, right? So, okay, you got me. All right. You can just say this, hey, doubt, unbelief, you need to go in Jesus' name. My friend, we're just going to tell doubt and unbelief just to go. Unforgiveness, go in the name of Jesus, right? You can meet them where they're open to. All right. It says, you're a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human standpoint, not from God's. So once again, Jesus is not rebuking Peter. He's rebuking the other evil spirit, right? That is trying to delay and hinder the destiny of Jesus Christ. That's it. All right, so you can choose to yield to God in 1 minute and then yield to the other one the next. How many people have done it besides myself? You go pray for someone, help somebody, and then you just, you know, just attack someone else and gossip, you know? All right. So let me think where I want to go here. All right, have you ever heard the term yo-yo Christians? How about roller coaster Christianity? Little catchphrases here. I want to define it like this. It's someone that is plagued by behaviors that are the exact opposite of what they claim to know and believe about Jesus Christ and his word. People that can quote scripture, okay, and even act the part, go minister to people, but their behaviors, they have consistent behaviors that are in exact opposite and are actually demonstrating all the nastiness of Satan coming to steal, kill, and destroy. So for instance, I've seen this in churches. It's really heartbreaking. People that can quote a ton of scripture, but the next minute, you know, you just did something that, whatever, they just cuss you out for it. I mean, it's like weird. Now we all like have our moments, right? But I'm telling you, like, vicious attacking cycles. Like, you put a boundary down and they just attack you and sneer you and chop your head off for it. Like, it's like abnormal. You know what I mean? When it's just, it's not just someone being a jerk, it's like vicious attacking. All right. Trying to think what I want to describe this as. It's almost like two different personalities are like bound together. Not only does it wreck their lives, but it wrecks the people that are tied to them. If you ever have a family member or someone that you are tied to, that they're one person and then they're another person. And yeah, they love Jesus, but I'll tell you, they have just been yielding to something over and over and over and over again until something very evil and nasty is manifesting through them. I remember a situation, which I don't have time to go into, where there was this was going on, and I was like, what is going on? Like, they can just be, like, so sweet and kind and loving and, you know, do a Bible study and things like that, but, oh, man, behind closed doors, they're like a different person, nasty, vicious, attacking, raging, abnormal. And I remember praying, and the Lord, I might talk about this next week. There's a gift called the discerning of spirits. My dad would pray for me all the time that I'd be able to see into the spirit world. And I was like, what is going on? And God lifted the veil, and I saw with my eyes into the spirit this giant black Cheshire cat-looking creature wrapped around this person's arms and shoulders with its claw dug right into its heart. And this big, it looked like a Muppet, weird, but I would describe it like a Cheshire cat. And this big face with this sneering smile talking right into this person's ear. And this person was repeating everything that thing said. Christian, spirit-filled, sometimes used by God, but had let inroads of holding on to bitterness, offense, judgment, jealousy, anger, and would cycle on it over and over. And any person that actually ever talked to this person would get an earful of the story of every person that would ever hurt them over and over again. And it allowed something to dig deep into his soul, his mind, his will, and his emotions that he would yield to and become someone very different than who he really was. But it was a choice to yield. And with that situation, I saw them repent with a wonderful minister and for about 3 months walk in total freedom from that nasty thing. And then something happened and they got back into offense and jealousy, obsession, and started blaming everyone else in their life. And I'll tell you, that thing came back twice as strong, destroyed that person's life and everything they had. We can choose who we yield to, but if you keep yielding to something nasty over and over again and keep holding on to sin and don't truly repent and want to change your ways, you leave that door open for things to come in deeper and deeper, and it will steal so much in your life, including relationships and things that the Lord wants you to do. Does that make sense? I wasn't planning on sharing that, but that's okay. I felt there was grace. I've seen people do this in this church. Perfectly lovely, wonderful, kind, generous person, loves Jesus, but hold on to secret pet sins, things that they idolize, things that make them feel powerful. I've seen people go into slander, gossip, start attacking someone, just tear someone to shreds, talk bad about them and smile while they were doing it. A little sneering thing. because they like it. They like how it makes them feel. Everybody's quiet because I think we've all seen this at some point or another. They do love Jesus, but they are choosing to yield to something where it's starting to change who they are. And it does start to destroy the relationships around you. And it will delay and hinder. Nothing can stop the call of God on your life. Many are called, few are chosen, because we choose if we want to respond and yield to the Lord and pursue the call of God in our life, or we can choose to yield to that other voice, which will delay what we are called to do. Does everybody follow me on that one? So there's a huge difference from yielding to an evil spirit and being possessed. But the more a person yields to demons, the stronger that influence grows and drills deeper into their mind, their will, their emotions, and the more ground that demon will take and just hijack and train wreck your life. Anybody seen this besides me? Yeah. The more you yield to the wrong voice, the more you start to just pass the steering wheel over. Remember that country song, Jesus Take the Wheel? You can yield the wheel over to the Lord, but it's still your wheel. It's still your car. But you can choose to yield the wheel over to that other nasty little thing, and it'll train wreck you, and it'll hurt other people with you. Romans 6:16 says, don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey and yield yourself to? You can be a slave to sin, which yields to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. When you submit and yield yourself to someone, you'll eventually become their slave if you do it over and over again. You know, this is real sad, but let's just be real. As Christians, sometimes we're just only partially yielded to Holy Spirit. Because we just don't want to change our ways, because we just have idols in our life and pet sins that we just like. We like how it makes us feel, or we just want an outlet in life. Does that make sense? Sometimes we just want an outlet for our flesh in life. But when we hold on to these sins and we hold on to these idols, at what cost? Cost. It hurts yourself, it delays how God can use you, and it will cost you relationships around you. All right, I spoke about this last week, but just to be clear, just because your house has a termite problem doesn't mean termites own your house. Christians, talking about Christians right here. So just because we have a problem of yielding to other demonic forces in our life doesn't mean when you're a Christian that they own you. They don't possess you, right? So I want to say yes, the real us is the spirit, the eternal spirit. When we die, we will go to heaven, right? So that's you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Do you not belong? You do not belong to yourself. You are not your own. So when you surrender your life to Jesus, that says, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins. He rose again, and I give my life to him. I have given the deed to my house to God. I've given the title to my car to God. So who owns my vehicle? Who owns my house? God does. I am his most precious possession. He bought me with the precious blood of Jesus. I am his. But as a Christian, you can still yield your body and your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions to the influence of demonic spirits. Does that make sense? Okay. If you are not a Christian, and you are continually under that kind of influence over and over, and you give it place, and you give it obsession, and you just keep pushing, and allowing those things to go into you, in time, it really can possess you and control. And that's what we learned last week with the madman of Gadara, right? Jesus loves every single one of us. That makes sense? So let's not judge. Let's go set captives free. Amen? So if a demon can't embody a human, because they want to have the greatest range of influence that way, because they want to express themselves in a natural realm. All right, so like a physical house, you can have different levels of bug problems, right? Termites. Demons are not termites, but I'm just using it as an analogy, to be clear. All right, it can affect and influence the outside of your house, right? Can't get to you, get to people around you. Stink up the atmosphere and all the rot we let around us. All right, but if you give it time to obsess and think about it and start to act on it, it can open up doors of access, inroads to gain access inside your house. And if left unchecked under the right conditions, can start to infiltrate and cause great damage to your house. Okay? So I'm talking about your body, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and also relationships around you. But that's why we've been given Jesus. I had to break these things down. I kept getting lots of questions, and sometimes you just got to take some time, right? And just, it's okay. I, as a pastor, have been in those places. What? And when I realized what was going on, I was in the name of Jesus, depression, you get out of my life. Panic attacks, anxiety, you go. Unforgiveness, anger, victimization, you go. In the name of Jesus, I will not let you control me. I will not let you cause me to be bitter. I choose to walk in forgiveness. I choose to walk forward in the call of God in my life. And if it's something that I keep going back to because it's just hard, I get some incredible friends around me that will stand with me and break that thing off too, so I don't go back with some accountability. But it is up to me. Repentance means to change your ways. I will have to change how I do life to not put myself in those same temptations, in those same type of atmospheres, in those same type of relationships that allowed me to go into sin cycles that opened the door for Satan to steal, kill, and destroy and rob me blind. Jesus gave us the authority. Let's focus on the answer. The authority used the power of his name to set captives free to those who sit infested in darkness. That's what it says in the Bible. I love Isaiah. I read Isaiah all the time. To bring healing to all diseases, mental illness is an organ in your brain. There is a healing side to everything. Just because you're sick doesn't mean you have a demon. Can I clarify that? Right? But I will say this. Sometimes those demonic blockers of unforgiveness can block healing. Search your heart and make sure you're walking in forgiveness. I might take it. We'll see. We'll see what next week goes on. All right. Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus said, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So John 10:10 says, Satan and his demons are behind everything. Steal, kill, destroy. Clear? All right? But not every problem and not every situation and relationship is because a demon is moving. We have a choice to be all fleshed out and be our worst self. We also have a choice to listen to those other voices, right? He gave you Holy Spirit. Pray and let him reveal what's going on. There is no formula for ministry. A plus B equals C. Nope. He gave you Holy Spirit, the truth-giving spirit, to show you what's up. So please be talking to him. And I'll tell you, praying in tongues, praying in the spirit reveals mysteries. So pray and ask the Lord to interpret what's going on, Lord. Show me, like I did, Cheshire Cat. Oh, that's what's going on. So now I know how to pray. Do you guys hear? All right. Taking authority over demons is just really simple, and it is nothing to fear. All right, so Jesus is perfect theology. We are to do what he did, and he always did it in a really simple way. So when something was just destroying someone's life, if it was manifesting and Jesus saw it, because not everything is a demon, you have to hear by the Holy Spirit what's up. He told the thing to be quiet, stop manifesting. He didn't yell or shout. He didn't shame. He didn't make a public spectacle of someone. Told it to go. And so we are to do the same thing. Jesus is the model. So seven steps, real simple, and I cover these each week. Seven just keys. I don't even like steps, but keys to praying for people so they can walk in total freedom. Number one is command that spirit to go in the name of Jesus and be quiet, stop manifesting. So tell that thing to stop talking. If you're dealing with depression, like I'm telling, harassing every minute of the day, every second of the day, talking about what that person did to you over and over. You ever been just constantly attacking your brain of hurt, of pain? Tell that thing to be quiet in the name of Jesus and tell it to go. Don't worry about its name, just what is it doing to you? Is it causing fear? Tell fear to go in the name of Jesus. Is it causing you to hate yourself? Tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Whatever it's doing, tell that to go. All right. Next thing, really simple, repent. Repent shuts the door. Repentance says, God, forgive me for not taking my thoughts captive. Forgive me for choosing to entertain and obsess on these type of lies in my brain. Because we have a choice. You know, people say dumb things about us all the time, right? Why does Satan use the ones closest to you? Because you actually listen. How many people you accidentally cut off and they just put some hand gesture and curse you out, and you're like, whatever, I'm over it. The next day, whatever. But someone talks bad about you, oh man, I can be thinking about that every day, all day long for like weeks. All right. So just repent for holding on to things because it shuts the door to the enemy. And I want to say this, you know, sometimes it takes a while. You remember the story of the three little pigs? Let's just say Satan acts like the big bad wolf. He's outside the house. Little pig, let me in. You have a choice. It's just a strange voice outside your house. It has no right. It has no authority to break in. You're in that awesome brick house. There is no cracks. There are no doors open. There are no windows open. So you just say, go in the name of Jesus. You better go in the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness, go in the name of Jesus. You know what? Anger, bitterness, rage, whatever. Go in the name of Jesus. He might just keep knocking because he might try to wear you down. But he has no right, he has no access until you start entertaining and repeating those thoughts. That's what cracks the door open for him to steal. So, you know, when a bully comes after you over and over again, I'm just going to say kick it in the shin. Can I just say that? I'm just trying to find something legal. You know, if a bully comes after you over and over, you keep kicking in the shin, in the name of Jesus, go, in the name of Jesus, go. Eventually, it's just going to leave you alone because he knows you're going to keep fighting. All right. Very simple. If you're ministering to someone and they are not a Christian, they don't know about Jesus, explain who Jesus is so they have an opportunity to give their life to him. If you're ministering to a Christian, it's just a good time to rededicate their life to the Lord. Hey, Lord, I opened up some doors in my life of compromise because I wasn't truly following hard after you. I wanted your forgiveness, but I didn't want you in every area of my life. I just recommit my life to you. And then get filled or refilled with Holy Spirit, right? So, you know, sometimes... If you've ever asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he filled you right like that. But the Bible says to stir yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying and singing the Holy Spirit. Stir yourself up because when the pressure of life comes, it kind of squeezes you a little bit. So you know what? If you're feeling kind of drained, you just go, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Get full of the word and just, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, I just love you. Worshiping him is a really good way just to stir yourself up. Because the empty mind is the devil's playground. And if you, I tell you, a vacant house is really easy to break into, right? So I minister to a lot of people all the time, and I pray for just demonic baloney just to be broken off people all the time. I pray for spirits to go. I just don't make it weird. I just literally like, I'm going to put my hand on his shoulder right now in the name of Jesus, and I command depression to go. I command a spirit of depression to go. If it's a really mature believer, you can say a demon of depression, but if it's someone right off the street, they're probably going to run away from you. So just keep it simple. Do you hear me on that one? Know your source, okay? Know who you're talking to. All right, I tell it to go in the name of Jesus, but it is up to them. If they really want to repent in their heart, they're going to change their ways. They're going to change their associations. They're not going to put themselves in places where it's easier to break in. They're going to have to choose to walk in forgiveness. I can't control that. I'm just a minister. It's not my job to judge them for that either. And it is up to them to put the effort in to spend time with the Lord every day, to build themselves up in the Word, to worship the Lord, to get filled and overflowing. And I'll tell you, if you don't want to go back to your old ways, just do all the stuff Jesus did. It'll just rip you so far out of your old life into the new one because you're just, you know, praying for friends. You're praying for people at the PTA. You're praying at people at Walmart. My new thing is the gym. I just try to look for someone to pray at the gym. And I don't make it weird. Really. You don't have to make it weird. I start a conversation. Hey, how you doing? You look a little down. Hey, what's going on? I'll just give some time. Give 5 minutes to listen to them. And be like, after you listen to them and you're not making it weird, can I pray for you? Need healing in your body? Can I just hold your hand right now as a point of contact? Put my hand on your shoulder? And I just release the healing power of God, whether it's in your body or their heart or their emotions. And if they're being attacked with anxiety, I tell fear to go in the name of Jesus. But after that, it's up to them. But let's be obedient. Amen. Can the altar team come forward? You guys can stand up. Thank you, Lord. Altar ministry. So I'll just say this. Like, by the way, Jesus is perfect theology, and he makes everything really simple. But if there's something in your heart where you're just going, man, I'm yielding to that other voice. I'm entertaining that other voice. This is just a good time to just ask God to forgive you, because I think every person in this room at some point or another was listening to the wrong voice and started letting obsession start to change who you are. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we're just going to just say, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. I choose to walk in forgiveness. And just right now, just between you and Lord, there's music going. Just talk to him about any access point. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip, jealousy. Just say, Jesus, forgive me for entertaining those thoughts, for obsessing on those things, for repeating those things, for spreading that. And whatever spirit is trying to attack you, you just tell it to go in the name of Jesus, whatever it's done in your life. So like I said, I was being attacked by depression and anxiety for years of my life. So I would just say, in the name of Jesus, depression, I command you to go. In Jesus' name, don't you dare come back. Whatever it is, tell it to go. And then just say this, Jesus, I'm yours. You're Lord of my life. You can have it all. I surrender. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. And just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal who you should be connecting with in friendship, or join a grow group, or start one. But get in some friendships and some accountability that help you move forward and not go back to the same old stumping grounds. Amen. The altars are open. We have wonderful people that would love to pray for you. Just stand with you. So listen, if you are wrestling with faith for yourself in that, they would love to pray for you, the prayer of faith. Amen. So you can come forward. Man, World Harvest Christian Center, we're just so glad you could be family with us today. We love you, and you guys are dismissed.